Testament, New Testament, how we're called to do hospitality, and what forms we do it in and who we do it to, Lord. And more importantly, that the Spirit would testify to our hearts and give us the motivation to use hospitality as a way to share in the gifts that you've given us, and to give you glory and give the name of Jesus Christ out as part of the gospel to our neighbors, to the community, and to help those in the church be sanctified. Amen. All right. You've got a whole stack here to hold down. You sure you got a few more of these for me?
Just those two.
All right.
That's all I brought.
So I've titled it Simple Hospitality for Gospel Outreach and Evangelism. It's based on various scriptures. With all acknowledgments here, I want to acknowledge Deacon John Raven from East Cooper Baptist Church, Pastor John Piper that we all know from Desiring God Ministry, and of course, author Rosaria Butterfield. If you haven't read any of her stuff, I would recommend some of her reading for you on hospitality. Last Sunday, we did talk about community, and we talked about God calling us first to have a strong community within our local church, growing in Christ-likeness while doing to one another through discipleship. We referred to this as common unity. And this really is doing the one another's through discipleship, whereas conflict is not avoided, but rather it's embraced. It's embraced in a loving and an understanding way, building relationships and growing each other in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We finished by looking at outreach and how we can be and how we can be part of a context for evangelism in fulfilling the Great Commission, and that we are to practice situational discipleship and evangelism to meet people where they are and to build relationships along their faith journey. And then again, about sharing the testimony of our faith and how we can move those conversations into sharing the gospel. Well, we left you with some suggestions for July 7th and our community engagement, our celebration, and how to outreach the local community. But how do we do this in smaller circles? How do we do this within our neighborhood, within our team sports, within our work environment, with strangers on the street, the onesie-twosies? How do we go about finding opportunities to share the gospel on a routine basis? How do we find, on a daily basis, those outside our church circles and build relationships with them so that we can someday share the gospel? Rosaria Butterfield, with her pastor and husband, Ken, came up with one answer for us that really stuck out to me when I read some of her books. It's called The Radical Ordinary Hospitality. She suggests that it means that we are to be stranger-oriented. We long so much to build godly relationships that we are willing to risk our comfortable routines to see strangers as neighbors and neighbors as the family of God. In her book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, she paints a picture for us on what a Christian home should strive to look like. The homes are intentionally inviting to the local fellowship and other believers, and especially strangers. She goes to great length to walk us through how to be intentionally hospitable to neighbors and strangers with different worldviews, lifestyles, and beliefs. Do you believe that Jesus, through our actions, can really achieve and reach those who are radically different in their worldviews than we are as believers? Is God making us more and more in Christ's likeness so that we can better get along with our inner comfort circles? Or does he want us to build relationships with people who think and act differently than we do? It is clear that Rosaria Butterfield has some keen insight and has done her biblical homework in encouraging believers to embrace hospitality on a weekly and daily level, right down to inviting neighbors and strangers into our homes. So let's look at some biblical basis for hospitality and see where and how it ties into outreach and evangelism. Now, I can remember growing up outside of Duluth, Minnesota, back in the days where cell phones were a bag phone, if you were lucky, with a big antenna on the roof, and you felt pretty special to have one of those. It was safe to ride my bike up and down the side of the road without shoulders. If a car broke down, which was quite common back then, most people would stop and help you out. When the neighbors moved in down the road, you brought over fresh baked muffins or cookies or bread, and you helped them unpack and get settled. today, unfortunately. In most of the areas of our country, things are different. If a car breaks down, we fly by them, frustrated that they caused a traffic delay. They have a cell phone, so they can call for help, so we don't even think of stopping. Further, we tell ourselves, well, they might be dangerous, and certainly they are not to be trusted like we are. When our neighbors move away, we say, oh, man, we meant to have them over for the last few years. Well, we might wish them well as we wave when they drive by in that moving van, in a way just to settle a little bit of guilt from the inside. We'll reach out to you, we say. When our new neighbors move in, we secretly hope that they're a homeschool family that needs a good Bible-based church with kids and interests that align with us. God forbid if they are broken sinners who are going through severe trials that just might interfere with our home, our peace, our kids, our plan. Notice the hour there. And make us feel guilty for not reaching out in relationship to them. They make us feel guilty. Lord knows we have tough, demanding schedules already, and there's no time available for diversion or worse, yet a potential negative impact on us or our kids by these new strange neighbors. Come on, I'm not alone here. I know you're thinking that. So what does hospitality look like in reaching out to these new neighbors or strangers in our community? Who does hospitality apply to? And when are we called to show it? What is the biblical basis for it? Well, in the Old Testament scripture, we talked about it earlier, Genesis, a lot of genetics in Genesis. Let me try that again. I don't think I could say that if I wanted to. Genesis 18:28. We see an example of Abraham welcoming strangers from afar, offering rest and provision after their long trip. In Deuteronomy 14:28 and 29, we see a type of hospitality commanded in the act of tithing food. Isaiah 58:7 depicts hospitality as clothing the naked. Two key verses in the Old Testament that support hospitality. Leviticus 19:33-34. It says, when a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Ezekiel 29 says, but I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of nations among whom we live, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. These two verses help us to see that hospitality is commanded to be shown to the stranger as God has shown hospitality to his people, to be a sign to the nations for his glory. The New Testament book of Acts 2:42-47 says, we see the early church, or I should say in it, we see that the early church regularly gathers together around meals for fellowship and to grow together spiritually. In Luke 19, Jesus teaches Zacchaeus and by scripture the rest of us on how to show hospitality in ways like sharing a meal, conversation, real relationship, and of course Jesus does the spiritual teaching. Through our recent men's study on books 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we see a caution on who we are to provide hospitality to, or better yet, who we are not to share hospitality with, and that is false teachers or those serving a false gospel. In 3rd John, the Apostle John commends the act of hospitality toward those serving to further the true gospel of Christ while warning those against the church who would withhold hospitality or disrupt others in the act of providing hospitality for their own desires and gains. Some of you remember that. Good study, 1 John. Meanwhile, 2 John, we are warned that deceivers of God's word sharing a false Christ are not to be provided hospitality. So, regarding who to share hospitality with, we are to be prayerfully discerning. A key New Testament support for showing hospitality is that as Gentiles, we were brought near to Christ by hospitality. Ephesians 2:11 through 14. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. So Christ came to reconcile both Jews and Gentiles to God, and thus to each other. The result for us, Gentiles, is given in verse 19. So then you, Gentiles, are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Thank God for hospitality. We see from Scripture that there is a biblical pattern here of intimacy, fellowship, support, and love, all surrounding the concept of sharing a meal with one another. So when someone in the early church shared a meal or took someone into their home, they were not just offering a helping hand, they were actually sharing their life. It was a very personal and on display to the watching community that believers validated the teachings of the individuals enough to provide them food, shelter, and relationship, which we define as hospitality. Based on Scripture, generally theologians have defined biblical hospitality as the welcoming and fellowshipping with believers and non-believers out of truth and love for Jesus Christ, so that they may see Christ more clearly, and or so they will join us as believers. So based on this definition of biblical hospitality, number 3, how are we to put this into practice? Again, we start with looking at the picture that Scripture provides us. Romans 12:13 and Hebrews 13:2 direct us believers to practice biblical hospitality by loving and seeking out strangers and also helping other Christians in need. 1 Peter 4:9 and Colossians 3:23 tell us that we are to practice hospitality with fellow believers and unbelievers, whether they are friends or strangers. Further, we are to practice hospitality without complaining. Our heart attitude here is key. We are to be living a life marked by hospitality for the Lord Himself. Yes, we are to be hospitable for the Lord, but don't miss the hidden blessings of God as we act in obedience to His commands. Luke 6:38 tells us that the more we are generous with our blessings, the more we will be blessed. In turn, we use those additional blessings to continue giving God the glory through our actions. This circle of blessing involves community outreach by way of hospitality. John Piper captures this point another way for us. He says, when we practice hospitality, we experience the thrill of feeling God's power, conquering our fears and our stinginess and all the psychological gravity of our self-centeredness. And there are few joys, if any, greater than the joy of experiencing the liberating power of God's hospitality, making us a new and radically different kind of people who love to reflect the glory of His grace as we extend it to others in all kinds of hospitality. So, how are you doing with hospitality in your family? Your relationship circles at work? On the field with team sports at home? Are you inviting? Are you being intentional to let your guard down and obey the Lord? Do you know your neighbor's names? When is the last time you actively reached out to build a relationship with your neighbors, your work peers, your fellow students, and your teammates? Seriously, think about that for a minute. Take stock. What are you willing to risk to be obedient to the calling of hospitality and outreach for the gospel? Now, I know we have many legitimate cautions, even some partial objections on when and how hospitality might be exercised in our culture today in our community. But I leave you with a picture of what just a little step of hospitality on your part might paint for our community and for our local church. Rosaria Butterfield asks, what if every Christian practiced radical, ordinary hospitality? What if we at GCBC invited our neighbors over for gatherings regardless of their philosophies and worldviews? What if we invited neighborhood teens over to hang out and become a safe place for them to question worldviews? Are we willing to actively love people without forcing them to conform to our biblical beliefs for accepting or accepting their lifestyles? Are we content to go out of our ways to support, listen, and encourage our community neighbors over many months or years, seeing a little payback or love or response to the gospel? Are we willing to turn back after passing that stranger in need, to offer our very earthly life if only they would accept the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm not saying that you should place yourself or your family at significant risk of physical or spiritual harm. Certainly not every day. However, we all need to do an honest assessment on how we are fulfilling the command of hospitality to believers and outside to neighbors and strangers. If you are a believer, you desire by the power of the Holy Spirit to evangelize, reach out, build relationships, and show Christian hospitalities on a regular, if not daily, basis. The key to starting with hospitality is simple. Look at how God has blessed you with gifts, talents, relationships, schedules, interests, and material things. Look at them. You can use them to bless others through hospitality. Pick three ways to be more hospitable for Christ in this summer and put the first one into play yet this June. That only gives you about a week and a half, so get busy. Three steps toward hospitality for 3 months of summer. One, for someone in our local church. One, for someone in your neighborhood, your school, your team. And one, for a stranger in our local community. Don't stress. Brainstorm ideas. Encourage one another. But just do it. Remember, God is sovereign, and any hospitality for Christ is better than wishful thinking or trying to get it just right. Do biblical hospitality. And do it now. Okay, now for the fun part. Now you put up with all of that, right? Break up amongst your tables, and I'm going to have you brainstorm on the back of your page 9 ways to start with simple hospitality. Now, I know 9 sounds scary, all right? But think about it. We're saying 3 for the local church, so your brothers and sisters within the church. What are 3 ways you can show hospitality or reach out? 3 for your neighbor, teammate, workmate, and 3 for a stranger. And when you're all done, I want to hear just a few ideas from you, and we'll wrap up. We'll share a couple ideas on hospitality. So I challenged young adult girls and teenage girls to see if they could outdo the boys. He must have scared them away because they all ran off when I asked for a spokesman. All right, but here's a couple I snagged from them. So the boys had to say, one from within the GCBC family is to take time to invite them to lunch or talk with each other during the fellowship period. One way for them to reach out to our neighbors in hospitality was to help them with homework help them with work outside, landscaping type work. And then to the stranger, they came up with helping them with lawn care, walking their dogs, or just inviting them over to hang out. And so again, very simple. They don't have to be, you know, something that's really complicated. All right, ladies.
So us girls would have to get together at someone's house in the past. I mean, we had it at our house once, and then we had it at Richie's house.
Okay, so that was a good one. That's kind of a just, and we'll just call it informal get together of the other girls, just to play games and hang out and pray together and community of interest. Good. Anything else you want to share? Okay, so she talked about putting a church invite up, or a church gathering type invitation up at the schools in between sessions for those that are looking for something to do, might be lost and want to connect. So another great idea. Okay, so who would like to go next? What other table? All right, Bob?
Okay, this is one you can do in the next 3 weeks. You drive around and look for people outside with their kids in their yard. And then you stop your car. I did this yesterday. You stop your car, you get out, and you invite them to our event. Because they got little kids, and you tell them, you know, this is about, you know, we got a bouncy thing, and we got games, and blah, blah, blah. And do that. All you got to do is look for people outside. It's easy. Go anywhere and look for people outside. Just drive around.
Okay. Yeah. So did you all hear that? So that's kind of the opposite of what I've talked about earlier. So rather than someone else's car breaking down, you pull over by the side of the road and get out and see a family that has kids and invite them to one of our events, particularly the celebration coming up. So, yeah, that's a great idea. Any others? Any other groups?
I think one thing I have noticed, like if you have, you know, for so we're at
That's awesome. You know, I shouldn't speak for all the men, but I'll speak for myself. Often when I bring my children to events, soccer or whatever it might be, it's easier for me just to sit in my chair. That's my downtime and cheering on my kid rather than developing relationships with them. And then taking it a step further, like Jeanette's table suggested, inviting to get to know some of those other parents outside that venue when you can actually talk and share versus, you know, constantly focusing on your children. So, yeah, you have something in common already. And your kids have already connected, so it's even better. Great. Anything else?
Talk about, like, with my neighbors, you know, and, well, right now, yeah.
I think host, you know, maybe this is from Rosaria's book is, you know, hosting a weekly neighborhood walk where you can just, you know, go on a walk and maybe get to know your neighbors and find out what their needs are. Right? Everybody has needs.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, just taking that step into space and just doing it.
Yeah, so Rosaria Butterfield, in both of her books, I believe, noted that one of the things they did as a family is they started doing a neighborhood walk, a prayer walk. And they would get to know their neighbors, and they would pray as they walked. And she said there's times where they would walk out to their picnic table, which they had out front down by the road, and their family was the only one there. And they're like, oh, is God really in this? You know, people are just freaked out, and they don't like us. They think we're weird or what? But as they start to walk, people come out of their driveways and join them. And if it's just a few, then there's opportunity to really connect. And if there's many, then there's an opportunity for others to connect with each other as they do these walks. And what she mentioned that her and her husband Ken, they just focus, their family focuses on doing that no matter who shows up. And it's amazing how God will use that. So another good example. Bob?
That reminds me of one. My son Rob used to do this all the time, every week. He would just walk out on the street somewhere to a complete stranger and he's staff and I pray for you. And nobody ever turns that down. Nobody. And they all say, you know, and they start praying for him, and then he invited him home on Friday night. And every Friday night, he'd have a whole Zoom full of people in his house from doing that. This is what he did. His church, that's what they do. They don't really share the gospel with people that might be criticism of it, but they offer to pray for him.
Yeah, so that's a really good example. Yeah, of outreaching and being hospitable. And, you know, obviously we do want to get to the point where we share the gospel with them.
If you think about it, once you start praying for them, you can, we were talking about this, you pray the gospel.
Yes, pray the gospel. Right. I thought I saw another hand.
I think some things that have helped us to get to know people in the community is we joined, well, like a homeschooling group, or we joined the community band in our town, which actually we did it for selfish reasons, but I mean, we've met a lot of people there, and it's about talking to people and noticing them. There's plenty of people who come to the band, they talk to nobody, they do their thing, they leave. But noticing people, and me just like saying hi to somebody I didn't say hi to, he actually made a point of saying, thank you so much for saying hi to me. And I was thinking, I mean, this is a guy, like, lots of people know him and talk to him, but he like made a point of saying something about me being welcoming to him. And there's this 80-year-old man who sits near me in the band, and after one concert last year, John and I were just talking to him and helping him, and we talked to him for like, I think an hour and a half or something, and like got to know a lot about him. And it was so sweet because we were gone last week, and then we came back to band this week, and he said, I missed you guys last week. And he is a man who never married, never had children. He moved here to be with his single brother, live with him in his old age. And so it's just, you know, it's noticing people and just not ignoring everybody like everybody else does. You know, we all want to be acknowledged. We all want to be, like, say, have someone know our name, you know, like, it's just simple things sometimes like that, too. And then taking it a step beyond. I mean, I was in a grief group a long time ago, and there was an older man in there who never married, never had kids. He was with his mom, and mom died. We used to have him over for holiday gatherings because he had no family that would have him over. And, you know, just little things like that sometimes are open door too.
So don't overlook or take for granted the opportunities already in your life that the Lord has presented you to be hospitable to others in different settings, building those relationships so that you can invite them in and share the gospel with them, especially in a time of need, because if they know you're a Christian and they're struggling and you find out and reach out to them, there's a much, much higher chance that they will come to you and ask for prayer or support. Okay. Any others?
Birthdays, special occasions, just a candy bar, a little note to co-workers, friends that you might have. Something real simple as that.
Yeah, little things go a long ways. People notice those, right? We often think, if we do something really big for someone, well, that's great, but how often can you keep that up, right? But the little ways, constantly remembering them and acknowledging them, those help build relationships. All right, Pastor Don?
I was just going to say that, you know, even in Vancouver, at GCBC, so often we have visitors and or people that are new to different times, but often they stand by themselves just as an investment. Our own church to be able to look for those kind of people, because some of them, you know, go right straight out the back door. Some of them that do come into the fellowship hall to get to know them. And I think that we have a tendency at times to talk to people we like to talk to, and we don't even mix as much with those that we don't make talk to as often. So, because just within the church, I think that's kind of a good idea, and then be mindful of those that are shut in, of those that have physical problems, rather than maybe leaving it up to the grace group, but to cross those lines. If you give somebody a call or talk to them,
Yeah, so two real simple basic things that apply directly to our church. One is when visitors come in. And I'm like you, I get trapped in conversations, I don't want to be rude, I'm interested, I want to talk to these three or four people to follow up with them, and I fail often to go up to people I don't know, introduce myself, because I'm afraid sometimes to say, hey, are you new here? This is your first time here? No, I've been coming here for 6 weeks. Okay, well, I guess I'm better off to do that, apologize. I just met Tim tonight. I didn't even know he existed, but he's like, hey, get a music stand for me. I'm like, who are you? No, seriously, take the time to do that. Reach out to them. It makes a big difference. One of the reasons Kim and I joined GCBC early on was the first time we came to visit. Of course, the preaching was awesome, but it was Pastor Dan. Where is he? He left. But the preaching is great, and it was right on, and it was expository. But the other reason we were invited in, and I believe that first time that I went, I ended up at, I don't know, was a baby shower or...
No, I went to the baby shower.
Okay.
You went to the men's
gathering. So I went to a men's gathering watching the kids while women went to a baby shower. Who does that the first time you get invited and visited, you know? I'm like, wow, amazing. God's love of outreach. And then his final point was those within the church. We often, and as we should, trust the grace groups and those people are closest to know what's going on and to reach out for those that are in need or are shut in or facing difficulties or challenges. But how often do you take the time to go through the directory, go through your prayer list and see people in need and make a point to reach out to them rather than assuming someone else from the church is doing it? I see one hand over here.
Wow. The first time that we visited the church, the week after, we were over at Costco, and Deb Hummel recognized me and said hello. I was like so shocked because I'd only been there once, and she remembered me. It was huge. She came back.
Yay, Deb.
I think one thing on the line is like the first thing, like, you know, people will miss a Sunday. And maybe they are on vacation, or maybe they are sick, or maybe, you know, people that normally come on a Sunday, but they don't show up on week. I think, you know, making it a point to call them or to just send them a note that week to let them know we miss them. And I think sometimes maybe we think somebody else does it. And if we all just think, you know, maybe if we don't think that way, maybe this person would actually get 2 cards or 4 cards or 6 cards. Or a little note, or a phone call, or a text message, hey, I missed you at church today. I hope you're okay. Because I know being missed.
Yeah. Yeah, following up with people is important. I try to do that, and then often I get the text back going, "Are you checking up on me? I can't miss one Sunday without you calling me." And of course, they're trying to be funny, but they know I just care, and I just want to make sure everything's okay. And if they're on a vacation or something I forgot about or something going on, then I want to know, right? I want to be praying for them and checking in on them. So please do likewise. That does mean a lot to folks. So one more before we wrap up. Oh, worry all out. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray in closing. Dear Lord, again, we are just so thankful for the hospitality that you have shown us all the way down from your chosen Israelite people and how the hospitality you have shown and invited them in as your set-aside people all the way through the Gentiles, us, the rest of us, and how you brought us in, Lord, through your hospitality. Lord, just like the early church, help us to recognize that we need to be hospitable within the church, within our own communities, with our neighbors and people already in our circles, and definitely to the stranger, Lord. Just think the difference that would make if we would just do that and step out and risk. Risk that it wouldn't go well. Risk that we would be turned down. Risk that it would mess up our schedules and make us feel maybe even unsafe or out on the edge, Lord. But you have called us not to live for ourselves and not to live for our own earthly safety and focus and comfort, but rather to serve you, to give you all because you gave us everything, Lord. And so, Lord, we end that with that in the gospel. And Lord, and that is that you paid the ultimate price for us, that we would be redeemed, that we would be welcomed and adopted into your family forever. Lord, help us to be bold in the Holy Spirit to be able to reach out in hospitality to all around us. And Lord, would you use that to draw people to your name? We pray, amen.